بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد ونبي شريح خويلد بن عمر الخزاعي رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه جائزته قالوا وما جائزته يا رسول الله قال يومه وليلته والضيافة ثلاثة أيام فما كان وراء ذلك فهو صدقة عليه متفق عليه وفي رواية لمسلم لا يحل لمسلم أن يقيم عند أخيه حتى يؤثمه قالوا يا رسول الله وكيف يؤثمه قال يقيم عنده ولا شيء له يقريه به. This chapter which deals with إكرام الضيف, the honoring or the servicing of a guest. We began the discussion some time back. We are now drawing to the close or the conclusion of that chapter. Just to reiterate or recap, I find that this aspect of what we call it'am ut'am, feeding others, displaying generosity, this is something that is very, very greatly emphasized in our Shariat, in our Deen. And an important aspect of it'am ut'am, feeding others, is obviously having guests, serving food to others, sharing your food with others. Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he emphasizes this to such an extent that he says, مَنْ لَا يُضِفْ فَلَيْسَ مِنْ مُحَمَّدْ وَلَا مِنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ. That person who does not have this jazba or zeal within him of having guests, of sharing his food with others, he is not from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor is he from Ibrahim alayhi salam. In other words, he can't be from this ummah. Ibrahim alayhi salam was the great grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From his progeny, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. And we find Imam Nawawi rahimahullah in this chapter, he introduced this chapter with the ayats of the Qur'an, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up in front of us in the praise of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, this quality of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he was especially known for someone who would serve the guest. Hal ataka hadithu dhaifi Ibrahim al-mukrameen. Allah ta'ala describes in detail in the Qur'an the manner or the etiquette and adab of serving a guest using Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam as an example. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to say, مَنْ لَا يُضِفْ, that person who doesn't serve the guest, who doesn't have this jazba within him, he is not from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor is he from Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So we see that this is something that is greatly emphasized. I mentioned this previously, I'm mentioning it again. Mona Ibrahim Sahib, Devla Daun Barakatu, he particularly mentions in his bayan that if you look in Seerah, there was no such thing as restaurants. Food would never be sold before. It's not even part of Islam that you prepare food from a commercial point of view. Why there was no need for restaurants is that the mizaj of the ummah was such that if anybody was from out of town, then automatically someone would invite that person to come to his home. So even the case of the hotel would not be there, they would provide accommodation and they would provide meals for that person. That was part of the psyche of Islam. Our elderly people in the past, they used to say, Mehman a gaya, barkat a gaya. A guest has come, so barkat has come. Blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come. Unfortunately, we have introduced a lot of protocol and we've made it a burden to share food. Instead of one dish, five or six or seven dishes are prepared. And by creating this burden, by creating this unnecessary protocol around this, we have made this something that is difficult. Whereas if you look in Seerah, Azma Yusuf Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi in his Hayatul Sahaba, as I mentioned, the whole chapter is devoted to this. That every day in Madina Munawwara, this was the Mubarak practice of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whoever had come from out of town, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would distribute them to the various homes of Madina Munawwara. Sahaba, this was an expected this was an accepted daily practice that they would take people home to provide accommodation for them also and to make them their guests and to serve and feed them. It's mentioned about Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala, no, up to 80 people a day he would take as his mihman and his guests and he would feed them. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every day this was the normal practice. The food would be shared, guests would be invited. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at times he would have to squat while sharing the dastarkhan because of the lack of space. He would have to restrict his mubarak body to create more space so that the people could share the dastarkhan with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is something that ittiba'i sunnat, following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the road to salvation, this is the road to Jannah. And this aspect, something that is very, very important that we should inculcate in our lives. If your neighbor is going hungry and you are eating, you cannot be a Muslim. We find the mafhum of such ahadith. Increase, to this extent, we find in ahadith, that increase the water when preparing the food so that the gravy is increased so that you can share the food, so that your neighbor does not go hungry. So, ikramud daif, serving the guests, this is something that is very, very an integral part of sunnah, integral part of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As I said, we have come to the conclusion of that particular chapter. The narrator of the hadith which we have just read is a sahabi who has this kuniyat or nickname Abu Shuraih. His actual name Khuwaylid bin Amr Khuza'i radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is a sahabi who took part in Fateh Makkah, that is the conquest of Makkah. 20 ahadith are narrated from him. He passed away in Madinah Munawwara in the 68th year of Hijrah. In this hadith he says, Sami'atu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying. In another narration of this hadith, we find there is this prefix, Absartu aynaya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sami'athu udhunaya hina takallama bihi. What this literally translates to, he says, my eyes saw Rasulullah, absartu aynaya, my eyes saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa sami'athu udhunaya, and my ears heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he spoke these words. Now we find, as I mentioned previously, at times when mentioning incidents about Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba would at times give us very intricate details, sometimes not specific to the subject matter of what they were narrating. For example, the fact that my eyes, it is almost as if I can see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and my ears are listening to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Technically, that has nothing to do with the actual message. He already said, Samiatu, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is telling us what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So we ask ourselves this question, what is the need to say, it is as if my eyes are looking at him, it is as if my ears are still listening to him? In other words, to give the listener confidence that don't doubt what I'm telling you. It's an absolute fact. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam definitely did this, or he definitely said this. I can picture it as if it is happening right now. Because sometimes you must understand that the sahabi is narrating something many years later to somebody he had met, that many years ago I was in Masjid al-Nabawi and this happened with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to give the audience that confidence in the authenticity of what he is mentioning, this is why at times Sahaba Ikram would give us intricate details that sometimes are not specific to the subject matter of what they were narrating. So like I said, in another narration it comes, he says, it is as if my eyes are looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and my ears are listening to him. In other words, I can remember this fresh, it is in my heart. It is almost as if it is happening right now. I heard the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim dhaifahu ja'izatahu. That the one who believes in Allah the one who believes in Allah and in the last day, let him honor his guest, but not just honor his guest, فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ جَائِزَتَهُ to its haqq. Serve the guest to its right. Serve the guest completely. Now, this aspect of this hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the one who believes in Allah and the one who believes in Akhirat, let him do this. Who is being addressed? Sahaba are being addressed. They are already Muslims. They already have Iman. They believe in Allah and they believe in Akhirat. So what was the need for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say this? Man kana yu'min, the one who believes in Allah and in the last day, let him do this. From this, as we mentioned previously, similar subject matter was found in the previous hadith, where three times Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir. Three times, three things he mentioned. We discussed it already, so I'm not going to go into the detail. The three things which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, the previous hadith, each time with this prefix, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir. He said, the one who believes in Allah and in the last day, let him honor his guest. The one who believes in Allah and in the last day, let him join family ties, preserve family ties. The one who believes in Allah and in the last day, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. He said, speak which is good. Speak which is good or remain silent. Now each time, the one who believes in Allah and in the last day, ulama kiram, like I said, there were many explanations. One important aspect of this is development of Iman. Your strength of Iman in Allah and in Akhirat will increase if you will practice upon these things. In other words, by serving the guests, by feeding food, by developing generosity, your Iman in Allah will increase. In what aspect? That Razik is Allah. You are just the distributor. You are not giving that food. The food is coming from Allah. That person's risk is written there. That is why Allah has drawn him there. So you are not doing him a favor. He's doing you a favor. He's allowing you to discharge a responsibility. So have this jazba that I'm not in any way doing some good to others, or it's not some ihsan or favor of myself. It is Allah's favor. Allah is just using me. So have this jazba in the heart. Man can believe in Allah. Allah is the Razik. Allah is just using me to distribute this. Wal yawmil akhir. Believe in Akhirat. In other words, every morsel of food that I place on a dastarkhan, somebody else is eating, Allah is going to reward me. It's not going to go to waste. The return of it I will definitely get. One aspect, before we continue the hadith, we've already run out of time. The previous hadith, one important point which I forgot to mention, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the last part of the hadith, he said, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. He said, speak good or keep silent. Control of the tongue if you believe in Allah and in the last day. We find that there are certain what we call spiritual maladies, certain what we call spiritual sicknesses that occur, and very, very often ulama say make ilaj of this. For example, greed, pride, etc. They say make ilaj of this. How do you make ilaj? You normally go to a doctor, you mention your symptoms to that doctor. Doctor will hear the symptom. For example, person says, you know what, I'm excessively urinating at night. I find my lips are becoming parched. I'm becoming very, very thirsty. So these are indications, what, early onset of diabetes. So the doctor will probably tell you, test your sugar, etc., based on the symptoms. Medical science has many errors. They make a lot of guesswork also. Like that, when we look at Quran and Hadith, the words of Allah and His Rasul are absolutely haqq. There's no doubt about it. So sometimes what is a sickness? One very great spiritual malady and sickness is what we call qasawatul qalb, the hardening or the harshening of the heart, where a person's heart becomes hard. When a person's heart becomes hard, ulama give the analogy and example. They say, like, you have dry ground. When you have dry ground, you can't plant anything there. If you plant any seeds on hard ground, nothing will grow. Pour water on hard ground, it just washes away. For the ground to absorb it, for it to become conducive for planting, it has to be soft. In the same way, You can listen to all the bayans on deen. Listen to as much advice for it to take effect on the heart. The heart has to be soft. Now, one of the great harms, one of the greatest causes of the hardening of the heart is what we call excessive speech. As I said, we've run out of time, inshallah. We'll continue on this one.